Lord, grant us ears to hear your word this day through this text, that what we hear might be your word alone, that what we speak might be through your Spirit. We ask your blessing, O Lord, that you might make your word to us a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. In Christ we pray. Amen. Maybe you feel it as I have in the weeks that I have been pondering this sermon on this momentous weekend, this Martin Luther King Day weekend, which has always been a very meaningful one to me, this pre-inauguration weekend that seems to be encapsulating the hopes and the promises of our country and maybe even our world, even in the midst of challenging days. The number of opportunities that are coming to us in terms of mission directions and new kinds of energies are sort of all coming together, and it has been a challenge to not have a voice to be able to speak them in this time. That even as the boundaries and possibilities are expanding these days, this is not the beginning of that kind of a story. That story goes back over 2,000 years now and is captured in this text that we read in Galatians, this part of Paul's journey as we continue in this series. After 14 years and 11 of them in preaching ministry, Paul travels to Jerusalem to meet with the leaders, as I shared with the younger listeners of our community. His reputation precedes him. They know of his passion for preaching to the Gentile community. They know of his passion to allow non-Jewish converts to be accepted without the requirement of following the Jewish law. His adamant proclamation that we are saved by faith and not adherence to the law. So he protests throughout this text, and indeed in the verses before this, that he doesn't really need the blessing of the Jerusalem church. Still, he seeks to connect to them, to be with these brothers in the faith. And he is grateful when they extend that right hand of fellowship. He seeks that unity even as he continues to expand the borders of Christ's message in all of his preaching. We must remember, I think, that Christianity was an offshoot of Judaism and seen in those days to be part of the tradition. As such, it was expected that believers would follow the Jewish law, including participating in the rite of circumcision. Paul's message of freedom of faith solely through grace was a radical message in those days. To the church leaders, it was thought to be a prescription for everyone to do what they wanted to do, and that all behavior would therefore then all of a sudden be okay. And it is into that context that Paul comes to Jerusalem, flanked by Barnabas, one of Jesus' original disciples, the one who had been the first to trust Paul's revelation and this call to bring the gospel to Jews, to Greeks and Gentiles equally, to the Jewish people. And on the other side is Titus, a Greek convert to the faith, who becomes this test case on whether or not he would need to be circumcised. Ultimately, we read that the leaders agree that Titus does not need to be circumcised to be welcomed into the faith. Paul is secure in this call. He knows that Jesus has come to him to bring the message of the gospel to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, outside the religious establishment of those times, and yet he still travels to Jerusalem. There, those who were the disciples of Jesus, whose mission to those who were the disciples of Jesus in mission to the Jewish people. It is a great message of the expansion of the gospel, expanding the boundaries of the church in those days and seeking unity across division. It's a great message, I think, for this particular weekend as we celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., as we stand on the eve of the inauguration of the first African American president of our country. Reverend Jim Wallace wrote in Sojourners this week, "On the third Monday of January, our country sets aside a day in remembrance of the life and the work of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. To remember King is to act like him. The change that King led is not contained within museums, monuments, or mausoleums, but lives vibrantly on in the people of social movements. People who believe, step by step, a divided country can be united and broken spirits can be uplifted." It was not an easy place to stand. And it was not an easy place to stand for Paul in the gospel message today, as well as the call of our history again and again. Dr. King and those who initiated the fight for civil rights in this country connected with leaders of other churches to challenge them and us to step beyond themselves and ourselves and outside of our comfort zones. He challenged the clergy, who said that his actions at the time were unwise and untimely, an outside agitation. In his letter from the Birmingham jail to the clergy in Birmingham, he stated, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny." King knew his message and, like Paul, kept preaching it, even from jail and unto death. "The purpose," he said, "of our direct action program is to create a situation so crisis-packed that it will inevitably open the door to negotiation." Interesting. "I therefore concur with you in your call for negotiation, agreeing with those leaders that were so opposed. Too long has our beloved Southland been bogged down in a tragic effort to live in a monologue rather than dialogue." King even sounds a little like Paul from our text today, as he wrote, "When I was suddenly catapulted into the leadership of the bus protest in Montgomery, Alabama, a few years ago, I felt we would be supported by the white church. I felt that the white ministers, priests, and rabbis of the South would be among our strongest allies. Instead, some have been outright opponents, refusing to understand the freedom movement and representing its leaders. All too many others have been more cautious than courageous and have remained silent behind the anesthetizing security of stained glass windows." Yet he closes this letter in hope, King does, as he says, "I hope this letter finds you strong in the faith. I also hope that circumstances will soon make it possible for me to meet each of you, not as an integrationist or a civil rights leader, but as a fellow clergyman and a Christian brother. Let us all hope that the dark clouds of racial prejudice will soon pass away and the deep fog of misunderstanding will be lifted from our fear-drenched communities. And in some, not too distant tomorrow, the radiant stars of love and brotherhood will shine over our great nation with all their scintillating beauty." At the close of Paul's encounter with the leaders of the Jerusalem church, they ask only one thing of him: that they be united in a mission to the poor, to the most vulnerable of the society. This is not a matter of internal concern, but a matter of outward action. And we hear and we read Paul's commitment there as well, that Paul has already been so engaged and pledges again that continuing commitment. We stand in such a time, too. The challenges to church and society in these days are enormous. Economic crisis, budget deficits, an alarming immigration system, the number of poor and homeless expanding daily, wars, famine, disease in far too many places of the world. Inspired last weekend by Ben Franklin, who we didn't visit him, but we visited his museum in Philadelphia as part of our trip. I was inspired by the difference that one man could make. And certainly we see that in our text with Paul this day. We see that in our history with Martin Luther King. I loved reading different quotes that they had in the museum. Perhaps you've been to the Franklin Museum, where they share different quotes from Poor Richard's Almanac and other writings that Ben Franklin had. I love the one that said, "If men are so wicked with religion, what would they be without it?" It's tempting in these days and in these times to turn inward. Yet the call of Christ is always a call outward, to expand our vision and to live into the hope and the possibility that is ours in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. A hope and a possibility that empowers us to engage the issues of our day. Paul reaches across the aisle. He travels to Jerusalem. On the eve of this inauguration week, it is my prayer, in hope that our new president will be this kind of bridge builder, convicted by his call to serve and dedicated to including and expanding the boundaries of what has traditionally been in pulling us together once again. For the God we worship and serve is a God continually calling us to expand our boundaries. And with that God, all things are possible. Amen.